We recognize we need grace the day that we come to the Lord for forgiveness. But you know, somehow we forget that we need that same grace every single day to walk with Him. What about grace for family members, for friends?
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. David is a senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. As he teaches verse by verse through John chapter 9, today's teaching is entitled, Go and Tell. Just before we get into the teaching, D.A. Brown is with us. He's one of the associate pastors here at The Bridge. Glad to have you with us, brother.
Hey, Bob. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited about the grace we've experienced in our relationship with Jesus. We should not forget that this grace is something that other people need too.
Sounds like it's pretty important to share God's grace. So let's listen as David McGee begins the teaching, Go and Tell.
Turn with me to John chapter 9. Now, if you remember, you know, last week we were looking at Jesus as he presented himself not only as the Messiah, but also the Son of God. We looked at the connection between Abraham and Isaac and Jesus going up to be crucified on the hill. Incredible parallels that some of you communicated in the last week that you'd never seen before. And so praise God for the Holy Spirit giving us revelation there. And then this week we are in chapter 9, so let's pick it up. Verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now, I want you to notice something. In New King James, it says now. If you're in the King James, it says and. Okay, that's an important thing. You know why? Because chapter 9 comes after chapter 8. Now, if you're taking notes, you may want to jot that down. Chapter 9 comes after. No, there's a point to this. This is the same day. It's a continuation of thought, if you will. When you see now or and, it's the same time frame, and here it's the same day. Now, let's see what happens. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They didn't go, oh, this is awesome. We're in this ministry of grace and love and healing, and this is just like, oh, Jesus, there's a blind man. Can we pray for him? Jesus, there's this blind man. Do you think he needs anything? No, they walk past this blind man and go, eh, who's in? Him or his parents that he's like that? They missed it. They missed it. Now understand, this isn't the only time the disciples missed it. They missed it frequently. And I'm not dissing the disciples, and certainly I consider the fact that at some point I'm going to be in the same place as they are. And Peter, I just get a picture of Peter being a large man. He's a big guy, and I'm going to be with him for eternity. But in the light of teaching, let's really take a look at this. See, guys, we need to walk in love and grace with one another. We talk about grace oftentimes as this cold theological term, but grace is something we need. Grace is something I need. We recognize we need grace the day that we come to the Lord for forgiveness. But you know, somehow we forget that we need that same grace every single day to walk with Him. And then we begin to think, oh, I'm so glad I've got grace. But what about the people around you? What about grace for family members? For friends? What about grace for coworkers? What about grace for the people who come to this church? See, we tend to think that grace is something we need that the other person doesn't need. And it reflects on our prayers sometimes, doesn't it? I used to pray prayers when I was a young Christian that kind of went like that, like this. Lord, thank you for your grace for me. Thank you for your forgiveness for me. But you know, this guy over here, he's really messing up. I just want to tell you, God, that it's okay if you judge him. I think you probably should judge him. Now. Today. And we pray prayers like that. And God's got to be up there going, oh my gosh. The first life lesson here is grace is something other people need, not just you. Grace is something other people need, not just you. See, here they are. The disciples are trying to figure out, and I understand they're kind of wrestling with this theological thing. They're trying to understand where to cast the blame. You understand that's not our role? As a body, as believers, as followers of Jesus, you don't ever see Jesus showing up, and no offense, we love and we pray and support anybody in law enforcement. But Jesus doesn't show up like a policeman on the scene going, okay, what happened here? I need to get the names. You got a record? We got a rap sheet on you. As a matter of fact, you're wanted now. Jesus never shows up like that. How come we show up like that? Jesus shows up like a rescue worker in order to save the people that are hurt, in order to rescue the people that are dying. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not getting into these cold theological discussions on how lost somebody actually is. Are they so lost they can't ever come back? But to be rescue. Rescuers, rescue squads. Because guys, we live in a fallen world. Open your eyes to that. You will see today probably many people who aren't going to heaven. You'll see them at the restaurant you go to, or maybe to the Walmart or the grocery store or the gas station or wherever. You will come across and you will see many people who do not know the Lord Jesus. They don't have any of the answers. And if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, you've got the answers. They're dying for what you now know. I know that we don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, and that's okay. I don't think personally that we're wired to have all the answers. Because think, if anybody in here got all the answers, how that conversation would go. You know, you couldn't ask them anything. Hey, what about this? Well, since I have all the answers, let me address that issue. But that would never work. That would never work. So God in his wisdom didn't give us all the answers. But you know what? He gave us enough. He gave us enough to give what we do know. Because if you think about it, as followers of Jesus, we have more of the important answers than the wisest men in the world. We have the answers to such questions as, is it over when I die? What happens when we die? Can we really live forever? How can we get a new start? How can we be forgiven? You know those answers. And if you don't know those answers, there's people around you that can help you acquire those answers. But see, as we have these answers, there's lots of people out there that don't have these answers. And we need to be giving them the answers. And I think sometimes we get a little too comfortable having these theological discussions about man's condition rather than doing anything about it, rather than praying for them, rather than sacrificing for them, rather than inviting them. We need to be careful we don't run into the same problem. Now, verse 3, Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, sometimes, and I want to mention this, sometimes we do things that cause the problems we're in. And sometimes it's a healthy thing and it's a good thing to think, how did I get here? What decisions led me to be in this place? Because then you can think, well, I don't want to decide that again. But understand, sometimes you'll find yourself in a difficult place because you made the right decision, because you did the right thing. So don't always assume that you find yourself in a difficult position because you've done something wrong. Now, you know, people say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that one's actually very easy. People think that's a difficult question. It's really not. You see, according to the Bible, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I reverse those. But so the answer is none of us are good. The real question is, why do good things happen to bad people? I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace. Why do I ever get blessed? That's a much better question than why does anything bad ever happen to me? We live in a fallen world, folks. That's the way it is. We're not in the garden anymore. But there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. Now, like the way the New Living Translation reads in verse 4, all of us must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. I like the way that reads. See, because it shows that, guess what? We've all been assigned a task in the kingdom of God. And it's like the body. There's no unimportant parts of the body. They all work together. And this body is a picture in the Bible of the body of Christ. And all the parts are important and they come together. What has God laid on your heart to do? And even a better question, what needs to be done? Ask yourself that. See, it's real easy to stand on the sidelines and critique and pick apart. That's a cheap gift, if it's a gift at all. But getting involved and being part of the team and asking God, what do you want me to do? Because guys, there's lives at stake. We're not playing church. If we're playing church, shut and lock the doors. Let's all, you know, go have brunch or something. But this is the real deal. And there's lives at stake. There's people to be reached. Some of them are your family, your friends, your neighbors. And he says in this verse, all of us. God, amazingly enough, wants to use you as a vessel of healing to reach others. That's an amazing thing.
We'll be right back with more from David McGee on Cross the Bridge. Right now, here's a word from Associate Pastor D.A. Brown.
Hey, Bob, we're excited about God's Word going forth with Pastor David, and we want to pray for some people in these cities where we're broadcasting today. Beaufort, Gainesville, Macon, Milledgeville, Savannah, Snellville, and Thomasville, Georgia. God, we thank you for the people listening today in these areas. We pray that they would be encouraged in your word. They would realize that you want to bless them. Lord, you have a good plan for them. God, we pray for those who are sick in the area that you would please heal them. And Lord, we pray for the pastors and the churches that they would be ignited in all the good plans you have for them and sharing your word throughout their city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And now, let's get back to David McGee as he continues teaching verse by verse.
Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That I am phrase is I am the eternally existent one. Jesus is again claiming deity here. But you know, we've kind of paraphrased these two verses a little bit in that saying that we talk about a lot. Do all we can to reach those we can while we can. See guys, according to the words of Jesus here, the night's coming. The night's coming where we will no longer be able to serve in this church, teach the children, do the media. The night's coming where you'll no longer have the opportunity to invite people to come to fellowship here. You'll no longer have the opportunity to share with somebody. And guys, it won't happen gradually. In the blinking of an eye. So if you've been under the misconception, well, one day when I get all my problems straightened out, I'll get involved. One day when I get all my problems straightened out, I'll begin to invite people or share my faith with people. Do you realize that you're always going to be dealing with problems? There's always going to be issues. And if you're waiting to get perfect before you do anything for God, do you understand you just put yourself on the shelf never to be used? And the time is coming where those that don't know will know no more. They won't have a chance anymore. And that should motivate us. I mean, it's one thing to sit in here and talk about it on Sunday morning, but that should motivate us to action. These words should lead to actions. Because at some point in the future, somebody gets saved and that's it. That's the last one. You understand that? And I believe We're on the edge of that. We're close. And one Sunday morning in some church somewhere, it might be here. Somebody comes forward and God says, okay, that's it. Last one. That's him. That's her. That's it. We're shutting the door. It's done. Now, wouldn't it be really cool? Just for a second, use your imagination. Wouldn't it be really cool if you were the person that invited the person who was the last one? You'd probably be a fairly popular guy in heaven or girl in heaven. You know, oh, you brought the last one. Praise God. That's awesome. You know, and then somebody probably come up to you. What took you so long? We were all waiting for you to invite your neighbor, say something. And, you know, I don't understand. But anyway. But at some point, that door shuts. And notice he says, I am the light of the world. You notice that? He didn't say, I'm the light of the Christians. He said, I'm the light of the world. And it's a dark place out there. They need some light. And we need to be inviting people. We need to be sharing our faith. Let me touch on this for just a second. Why do we do that? Why do we want to tell people about Jesus? Why do we want to share our faith? And understand, there's been a lot of... I was going to come up with a fancy word. There's been a lot of wrong teaching in regards to this. The reason you want to share your faith, the reason you want to talk to people about Jesus, most people would say, well, so they can get saved. That's a great reason. It's all noble, but you know what? It's kind of unscriptural because you are not responsible for saving anybody. What you are responsible, and might I add accountable for, is to tell people. See, here's what happens. Somebody gets saved, and they go, oh, praise God, I'm going to go tell other people so that they might get saved. And then they share their faith once, nothing happens. They share their faith twice, nothing happens. Third time, maybe nothing happens. That's it. They're done. They don't tell anybody anymore. Why? It's not working. Don't fall into that trap. The reason we share our faith, the reason we invite people, is because God told us to. So the moment you open your mouth, guess what? You're successful. God looks down and goes, yes. Now, whether that person comes, whether that person comes to the Lord or comes to church here, that's not your responsibility. That's God's drawing and wooing that does that. The life lesson here is Jesus told us to go tell. Jesus told us to go invite. He told us to do these things in a lot of different places. I'll give you just a couple. Matthew chapter 22, verse 9 and 10 says, now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. Yeah, I came across a survey that said 87% of those who don't go to church said they would go if they were invited. 87% said they would go if they were invited. That makes our role pretty clear, doesn't it? To invite people. Maybe you invite them to lunch after. Maybe you invite them to breakfast before. And you make it sort of an event. And then everybody in here teams together to reach that person. The guys in the parking lot parking cars. Person comes in. Oh, man, this is cool. People parking cars and saying hey. And then they come in the door. And people are like, hey, glad you're here. Oh, wow, this is great. Come in here. And the media is working. And the worship team is worshiping. And it's all a team. We want to join you, with you to reach your friends, to reach your family. And Jesus has told us to do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So God will do his part. Let me guarantee you that. I can look back over the past few years and go, yes, God will do above and beyond what you think his part is. That's not even a question. The question for us, will we do our part? Will we do what the Lord has told us to do as far as inviting and sharing and serving and giving and all these different things? Verse 6, things get a little weird. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Here again, we see that John is writing not only the Jewish people, but to everyone because he just explained a Hebrew phrase, an Aramaic phrase to them. So he went and washed and came back seeing. A lot of people look at this and they go, oh, isn't that sweet? Jesus found a blind man and rubbed some stuff on his eyes and it was probably some medicinal ointment or something. No, we're actually told what he used. And somehow we look at this through our religious glasses, don't we? Do you understand what it says he used? He used spit and clay. Now, is that, that's a little different, isn't it? I mean, that's a little, let's be honest, that's a little weird, isn't it? If you don't think that's a little weird, I want to pray for you. Maybe you're having problems with your eyes. And after service, you can come up and I'll pray for you. Ah, yes. It's the eyes, right? See, then at that point, you'd be going, whoa, 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 whoa. See, at that point, you wouldn't be okay with the details of that story, right? Look at this for what it is. This was very different. You realize Jesus could have healed that man in any way? He could have spoke a word, healed that man. He didn't. He did the spit in the mud thing. If you think I'm getting ready to tell you why, I'm not getting ready to. I'll offer some theories, but that's all they are. I think he did it so that we wouldn't focus on the methods. We would focus on the master. He healed blind people different ways, not just this one way every time. And that's the way he heals us. That's the way he deals with us as individuals in different ways. And for us to go, well, this is the way that it happens every time, I think it detracts from the power of God. People had a habit of, after they encountered Jesus, of being able to see. Verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. And he said, I am he. I'm the guy. I was the blind guy. Now understand, in sharing your testimony, some of you think, well, I can't share with a family member because they knew, you know, a lot of the silly, stupid things I've done. I can't share with my neighbor because, you know, it wasn't too long ago that he was seeing me roll kegs into the house. And for me to talk to him about Jesus is... But you know what? That actually empowers your testimony. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go roll a keg into your house today. But I'm saying if you used to do things that were ungodly, they've probably noticed the difference. They probably noticed you're not rolling kegs in your house or doing things like that. They're probably going, what? Something's changed. What are they doing? They're going somewhere on Sunday morning. Oh, my goodness. Well, they're certainly not dressed for church, but, you know, they're going somewhere. And they see the changes. And far from disqualifying your witness to them, it qualifies it. Because they go, you know what? You're different. What happened? I want to know about this. I want to know about this. And this is what's going on. You're different. You used to be blind. Now you can see. What happened? Verse 10, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? In verse 11, he said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. I love throughout this chapter the way the guy just keeps it real simple. As a matter of fact, he wasn't real clear on how Jesus opened his eyes. You know, because he said, the man made clay and anointed my eyes. See, he didn't know what was in that clay, did he? That's okay. A lot of times we don't know how Jesus does what he does in us, and that's okay. We don't need to engage ourselves in all the particulars, but just know that he has, that Jesus has healed him. Because why? Jesus is the focus. And some of you may have missed this. You may think that you got to quit doing this or quit doing that. But as your focus is on those things, you know where your focus is not? It's not on Jesus. Now, what's going to end up to set you free? Focusing on this stuff or focusing on Jesus? Maybe your marriage is a train wreck. Maybe you're struggling with substance abuse or something. Don't focus on those things. Don't focus on your healing. Focus on him who heals. Verse 12, then they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know. Here's my theory on why Jesus healed him in this way. And it goes back to a couple things. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. So the dust of the earth and clay says in Isaiah that he is the potter, we are the clay. God wants to use us. God wants to combine his being with us to reach a lost and dying world. That's the last life lesson. God wants to use us to reach a blind and dying world with his hope, his light, his love, and his forgiveness. He wants to use you. He wants to use you in this place. What an amazing thing that God desires to use us.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. and I believe you were raised from the dead, that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
That sounds good, Pastor D.A., and again, it's been great to have you with us on the program today. But tell us, what else can our listeners find on crossthebridge.com?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time? Or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's Home Church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
Thanks again for listening, and join us next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse in the Gospel of John.